It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Yes, indeed. We have made it to Friday, October 23rd, 2020. And this is DJ Marcus. So that means it's 1900 UTC. Hello, hello to Ratsu and SMJ. I hope you guys are ready. Things are goofy. Sorry. Let's start off the way we always do.
World news.
That's right. Let's look at what's going on in the world. Coming to us from Reuters. French PM to seek new law to better protect public servants against threats. What kind of threats? Glad you asked. French Prime Minister Jean Castex. Castex? world news. Prime Minister Jean Castex. Castex? I don't know. Said on Friday his government would introduce legislation to better protect. A public servant against threats. Who wrote this? France has cracked down on Islamist militants after the October 16th decapitation of school teacher Samuel Paty, who was killed by a student angered at Paty's use of caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad in a class on freedom of expression. What is going on? This article, I think this article is an AI mistake or accident, because it is these words, the last line of the story says police shot dead the attacker, and the robots, they're invading. Let's jump over to the AP. Maybe the robots haven't infected them yet. This is coming to us from the Netherlands. Watch out, a bright yellow helicopter rose into a blue sky Friday, carrying a COVID-19 patient from the Netherlands to a German intensive care unit, the first such international airlift since the global pandemic first threatened to swamp Dutch hospitals in the spring. The clatter of the helicopter's rotors as it lifted off from a parking lot behind the Flevo Hospital in Almere, 30 kilometers east of Amsterdam, was a noisy reminder of how the coronavirus is again gripping Europe and straining countries' healthcare systems. The head of the World Health Organization warned that countries in the Northern Hemisphere were at a critical juncture as cases and deaths continue to rise. The next few months are going to be very tough, and some countries are on a dangerous track, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said at a media briefing from Geneva. So, pretty wild. They're having to fly people around. I'm having a good time. I've got some fresh chai tea. Chai tea, put some ginger in there, extra ginger, a little milk. It's beautiful, wonderful. I love ginger so much. All right, keep on rolling. Don't forget, speaking of tea, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is on at 1930 UTC. No sugar, just milk, and yeah, it's chai, like black tea and cinnamon and cloves and all that good stuff. It's good times. Well, we got something else here. Some France 24. Blooming algae was behind a recent mass death of sea animals that saw octopuses and seals wash up on the shore off a Russian peninsula, scientists said on Friday, in the final conclusion to their probe. Locals in Kamchatka, a volcanic peninsula in Russia's far east, raised the alarm in September after the animals were found dead and surfers complained of stinging eyes. Scientists later said that up to 95% of marine life living along the seabed in the affected area had died. Environmental campaigners said they were conducting their own inquiries and were not yet able to confirm the official probe's findings. Andrei Andreyanov, vice president of Russia's Academy of Sciences, announced the probe's conclusions on Friday, saying the mass death was due to the effects of toxins from single-cell algae. Speaking at the same meeting, Svetlana Radionova, That's an awesome name. Svetlana Radionova of environmental watchdog Rosprirodnadzor said her agency conducted over 5,000 tests. Huh. Boop. Sorry, I want to be sure. Put the name. Whenever I have a weird name, or a name that I have trouble saying, I always try and just throw it in calm, just in case. So, anyway, she said the agency did not see a way that the situation could have been caused by humans. In a separate criminal probe, investigators announced they had eliminated oil spills and toxic waste as possible causes. They added that the previously reported high levels of phenol in petroleum products were not critical and had been observed in the bay for decades. So this is very sad and scary. Unfortunately, public data available today does not fully prove any version of the ecological crisis off the coast of Kamchatka. Russia has been hit by a string of environmental disasters this year. So very, very tough news. Whoopsie-daisy. I drank my tea too fast. I ran into the room. It's just a mess. I'm a mess right now. Totally sorry. Let's keep going. Amazon's in the news. Amazon refuses to appear before Indian parliamentary panel on data privacy. So that's right. Representatives of Amazon in India have refused to appear before a parliamentary panel reviewing the country's privacy bill, an Indian lawmaker said on Friday. An allegation the U.S. commerce giant said was a result of a misunderstanding. Meenakshi Lekhi, head of parliamentary panel, which is reviewing the Indian government's personal data protection bill, had said the official's refusal to appear before it on October 28th could lead to coercive action against the company. Some industry executives said the bill could potentially hurt foreign tech firms and force them to change how they store data. Part of the panel's deliberations, regularly holds discussions with the technology companies. Amazon is doing huge business in India. If it doesn't appear before the committee, coercive action may be initiated against it. Of course. Yeah, it's pretty scary. It's wild. Well, don't worry. Amazon's in the news for other stuff, too. We'll jump over here. This isn't world news, but this is important news, and it's got Amazon in the name. This comes to us from independent.co.uk. Amazon workers are set to strike on Halloween if they are not given Election Day off so they can vote. More than 6,500 corporate and tech employees at the online giant have backed an internal proposal to give all staff a paid day off on November 3rd. Some staff have even written to company founder and CEO Jeff Bezos. But the Amazon Employees for Climate Justice Group says it has not heard anything back from the company's bosses. Now they plan on shutting down the company for 15 minutes at 11 a.m. Pacific time on October 31st by blocking facilities used by Amazon trucks and vans, the New York Times reports. Organizers say they are working with environmental group Seattle 350 to take the action in Washington and hope they will be joined in the protest across the U.S. It is really to disrupt work for the day, for at least 15 minutes, and to hold space and send a message that this is a very critical election, said Valerie Costa, the interim executive director of 350 Seattle. We think it's really important that the country's second largest employer gives time off to vote, given that people are waiting in line for hours to vote. Amazon employs more than 600,000 people in the U.S. and says that workers can request time off to vote at the beginning or end of their shift, but the firm says how long they can take off and if they get paid depends on the state law where they work. A string of retailers, including Walmart, Best Buy, and Patagonia, have announced they will close for several hours on Election Day to allow staff to vote, while others are offering paid time off. A story that I didn't put in here that is also going on is that several unions have gotten together and said if the president doesn't accept the outcome of the election, then there's going to be a big general strike across the U.S. So, very interesting times. What's a PKD? Sorry, in comm, it says it's a PKD story, so I'm not sure what that is. But it's news to me. Greetings, Ouroboroso. Welcome. I'm not sure. Alright, so let's keep on rolling. Let's hit up a couple more pieces of world news. Libya rivals signed ceasefire deal in Geneva. So this is exciting news. World peace, all that good stuff. The deal between military leaders from Libya's government and those from opposition forces led by General Khalifa Haftar was brokered by the UN. Its Libya envoy, Stephanie Williams, called the agreement a crucial sign of hope for the Libyan people. Libya has been riven by violence since Colonel Muammar Gaddafi was deposed by NATO-backed forces in 2011. The oil-rich nation is a key transport point for migrants heading from Europe, or heading to Europe from Africa, and many Libyans within the country have been forced from their homes. Quote, the envoy's quote is saying, the ceasefire will allow displaced people and refugees inside and outside the country to return to their homes. Explaining the terms of the deal, she said all parties agreed that all military units and armed groups on the front lines shall return to their camps. This will be accompanied by the departure of all mercenaries and foreign fighters from all Libyan territory, land, air, and sea, within a maximum period of 3 months from today. It's pretty exciting. It's good times. If you go to bbc.com, you can see a nice map kind of laying out the regions that were under control by who and what's going to happen next. Let's keep on rolling. Sorry, I look at com and then I look back and then I lose my place. also, I didn't mention, but this show's done live most of the time, and if it is October 23rd, right now when you're hearing this, it's live. You just go to com, you SSH over to SDF, type com, C-O-M, hit enter, press G for go to, spell out Anon Radio and hit enter, and you'll be in the Anon Radio room where you can hang out and chat with people there. Press H for help if you're not sure what to do once you're in there. The Czech Republic's health minister is set to lose his job after visiting a Prague restaurant in what appeared to be a breach of emergency coronavirus regulations he had put forward in an effort to win the country's increasingly desperate battle against coronavirus. Roman Primula, an epidemiologist and the main architect of the Czech regulations, was photographed on Wednesday night by the tabloid Blesk, leaving the establishment, which appeared to be illicitly open to high-profile guests, hours after a fresh lockdown was imposed to combat the country's soaring caseload. His political fate appeared sealed when the Prime Minister, Andrej Babiš, told him to quit or else be sacked. Hey, Harry and Larry is in the channel. Welcome, welcome. Big shout out. Let's just do this real quick. If you go to anonradio.net, if that's not how you're listening, if you're listening some other way, great, good for you. But at anonradio.net, besides listening, you can also see the schedule. And there's all sorts of cool stuff and cool shows going on. Today being Friday, we have News to Me, Dubious Goals, and then Something Blue with Harry Larry. And then if you get back on later tonight at 00 UTC, Saturday 00, it's around 7 or 8 o'clock in the U.S., you can catch Bronzy Beat in his Cafe 80s show, and it's basically packed from there. So, pretty cool. Yeah. Something Blue. That's what it looks like to me. Unless I'm reading this schedule wrong, but that's what I'm seeing. So, Something RGB 0022255. Yep, pretty rad. It's a good time. It's a good show. Of course, the Dubious Goals Committee's first, and that comes up at 19:30 UTC. Let's hurry up and get through this world news so we can talk about the domestic news and the tech news and all this other stuff. And of course, we gotta satisfy the music demon.
I wanna hear the music.
Yes, yes.
I wanna hear the music.
Plays, he's in your back of your head, just talking louder and louder and louder, and you're just like, okay, fine, we'll play some music. But first, Pakistan stays on global terrorism financing gray list. So a global dirty money watchdog decided on Friday to keep Pakistan on its gray list, despite progress by Islamabad on meeting international and anti-terrorism reform laws, anti-terrorism financing norms. In a statement, the Financial Action Task Force urged Pakistan to complete an internationally agreed action plan by February 2021, which I guess is abbreviated FATF. So FATF said Pakistan had now reached 21 targets out of 27 set for it in 2018, when Pakistan was placed on FATF's gray list of countries with inadequate controls over terrorism financing. So, good luck there. It looks like, sounds like Pakistan's on the way up. That'd be cool. All right. One more story, then we're going to play a song, and then we'll talk about some other cool stuff. So, this is a little bit longer, so I'm probably going to skip around. It's off of revealnews.org. And if you follow me on Mastodon, after news to me, I post a link to a list of all the stories that I read or was going to read, so you can check them out. Oh, hello, X1. Welcome. So, you can check it out. I'm MNW at tilde.zone. All right. Here it is. So the title is Conflict Beef from Nicaragua Feeds U.S. Market Amid Pandemic. And we're actually talking about cow beef, so actually like real food. So here's I'm going to read it fast. Here we go. In February, three teenage girls waded into a small creek in northeast Nicaragua near the town of Santa Clara to bathe. As the girls rose from the water and dressed, a shot rang out. One of the girls, a 15-year-old member of the indigenous Miskito community, fell to the ground, blood pooled from a hole in the side of her face. Someone was sending a message to the Miskito community in Santa Clara. Leave. Nicaraguan cow ranchers, spurred by a surge in beef exports to the United States and desperate for more pasture land to keep up with demand, are attacking indigenous communities in the forests of eastern Nicaragua, forcing residents to flee and killing those who resist. Dozens have been left dead. Once in possession of their stolen forest land, the cattle ranchers burn it, destroying pristine jungle that contributes to the destruction of the second largest rainforest in the Americas. Cattle raised in Nicaragua can end up on American grocery store shelves with no label indicating where it came from. Rather, some of it is labeled as grass-fed, suggesting it's more humane and sustainable. In January, dozens of armed men attacked another indigenous village in northeastern Nicaragua, killing four people in the Mayanga community, injuring two others, and burning down 16 homes. The deadly attacks have risen during the pandemic, as COVID-19 outbreaks slowed down American slaughterhouses, forcing U.S. grocery stores to scramble to fill shelves with foreign beef. So, the big thing that I thought was interesting, because there's a bunch of things here, but, where is it? Here it is. 4 years ago, in the wake of a trade dispute among the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, the USDA changed the rules governing beef imports to allow American retailers and meat wholesalers to stop labeling beef with country of origin. Now, beef imported from Nicaragua can be labeled as product of the USA as long as it's processed and repackaged in the U.S. is effectively indistinguishable from American-raised beef. So, it's definitely worth reading the whole article. It's just a bit long for the show. What is going on here? Dead beef. Yep. So anyway, that's happening. But we're going to listen to a song because, you know, that's what we do here. We play a little bit of music. We quiet down the little, I want to hear some music guy.
I want to hear the music.
Gosh. He's just always in the back of my head. And so, whoa, that's not what I wanted. Sometimes you think you have a song, and then you don't. And it's like, all right, fine. This is I Saw Her Standing There by the Beatles.
1, 2, 3, 4! Well, she was just 17, you know what I mean. And the way she looked was way beyond compare. So how could I dance with another? Oh, and I saw her standing there. Yeah.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's correct. We've got just about 7 minutes to go. Then it'll be time for the Dubious Goals Committee and the rest of the fun time sunshine that you can expect on AnonRadio.net, powered by SDF, just like we said. All right, so let's keep on rolling. Here's some more good news. Asteroid unlikely to hit Earth on Election Day. What a headline. An asteroid is heading towards Earth ahead of Election Day, but is almost certain to skip actually paying a visit, let alone posing any danger. Excitement is increased over the object known as 2018 Victor Papa 1 in recent days. The asteroid will pass by on 2nd of November, the day before the election in the U.S. That has led many to fear that the passage could be some kind of portent, or that it could be just one of a sign of major incidents that could happen that week. But the object will almost certainly decline to visit our planet. If it did, it would barely register at all, disintegrating in the atmosphere before it got a chance to get close to Earth. Recent interest in the asteroid has been piqued by a post from Neil deGrasse Tyson, noted rapist, who shared the news with that the object would be coming past Earth. Asteroid 2018 VP1, or Victor Papa 1, refrigerator-sized space rock, is hurtling toward us at more than 40,000 kilometers an hour, he wrote on Instagram and Twitter. It may buzz-cut Earth on November 2nd, the day before the president election. It's not big enough to cause harm, so if the world ends in 2020, it won't be the fault of the universe. So let's go ahead here, get that going. Oh, sorry. Doing that. I'm trying to pull up this story. It's not cooperating. I'm like, come on. All right, here we go. So I mentioned that Neil deGrasse Tyson was noted for his sexual assault. What I was referring to was a couple of years ago, Neil deGrasse Tyson was accused by a woman named Chaya Amet, and she accused him of raping her while they were both graduate students in astronomy at UT Austin. So she dropped out, and I stopped giving a shit about Neil deGrasse Tyson. So anyway, he's an asshole. He can go ahead and die. All right, let's talk about some technology.
It's time for tech news.
This comes to us from Fast Company. I normally don't read their stories, but they had a cool headline, Zoomtowns. Yeah, that's right. First there were Boomtowns, now there are Zoomtowns. So the coronavirus pandemic is leading to a new phenomenon, a migration to gateway communities, or small towns near major public lands and ski resorts, as people's jobs increasingly become remote friendly. This is straining towns' resources and putting pressure on them to adopt. A new paper published in the Journal of the American Planning Association, shows that populations in these communities were already growing before COVID-19 hit, leading to some problems traditionally thought of as urban issues, like lack of affordable housing, availability of public transit, congestion, and income inequality. And while COVID-19 has accelerated the friction, the study says that urban planners can help places adjust. So, very interesting. It'll be in the link I share later. It's just a bit too long to kind of go into the full analysis, but let's just say many of the communities lack staff and resources to get ahead of the curve, especially in a crisis, and they don't have these design guidelines in place. So there's an effort, the big takeaway is there's an effort called Gateway and Natural Amenity Region Initiative, or GNAR, GNAR, and that's an online toolkit that some of these small communities that suddenly have a huge influx of residents can use to kind of help out. We also want to talk about Facebook. What? Yeah, that's right, Facebook. Yeah, it's gnar. Very fun. Facebook in Cork, or I guess not in Cork, in Ireland, It is in Dublin. Sorry. I know the two groups have their likes and dislikes of each other. Anyway, Facebook moderators working for one of the company's Dublin-based contractors are being forced to go into the office, even as Ireland returns to its highest tier of COVID lockdown, after their employer categorized them as essential workers. Staff with personal shielding requirements are exempt from the order, but those with high-risk family members at home have been told by the contractor they are still required to go to the office. And people say they feel like they're being exploited. And this is said one moderator who asked to remain anonymous because they signed a non-disclosure agreement. Facebook themselves, they're making almost all of their employees work from home, even people working in the same team, on the same project as us. We're doing the same work. Facebook's letting them work from home and not us. Tobe time. Oh, man, we've got a little under a minute to go. And then we're going to have Tobe and the Doobie Skulls Committee. All right. Let's just knock out a couple of headlines then, since we're running out of juice. California Appeals Court rules Uber and Lyft must reclassify drivers as employees. California Appeals Court on Thursday unanimously ruled against ride-hailing companies, saying they must reclassify their drivers in the state as employees. It's been 10 years since WikiLeaks and Julian Assange published the Iraq war logs, so today marks a decade since they published the Iraq war logs, the most comprehensive exposure of imperialist criminality and neo-colonial. Well, that's kind of all we got. Thanks for listening. I'll see you guys next
that
week.
Sound means that
I know the recording says tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Thanks a lot for tuning in.